Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, the Loose Units spin-off where every week during the quarantine, Dad and I have a bit of a phone call and you get to listen in like the big pervs you are. Now, because it's a phone call, I thought this week I would actually do the phone call thing. So now you all get to listen in as the phone call begins. Here we go.
Hi, mate. How are you?
I'm good, Dad. How are you?
Bloody great.
Oh, that's nice. You're on... The episode's happening right now, by the way. You're in it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's exciting. I love spontaneity.
Yeah, sure. I can tell.
But the thing is, Paul, you know where I am, don't you?
Look,
I hope the listeners, same place as I was last week.
Right.
I mean, I haven't been here all week, obviously, because I do have a life outside of sitting in my ute.
Sure you do.
But I'm sitting in my... I mean, I shouldn't really say the brand.
No, you know what, Dad? You know what?
No, because we're not getting any sponsorship.
Yeah, screw them. Let's not give them any...
The big T.
Yep.
But it's a ute. I love my ute. And and I've actually done something a bit weird. I'm sitting in the car park within the complex, within the building, within the street, within the suburb, within the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, God... That sounded ridiculous.
You okay?
What do you mean, am I okay? I'm great. But the thing is, I've actually, can you notice a bit of a, does the sound better, like less echoey?
Well, are you going to tell me you've got some new technique for recording in the
community? I have, yeah, because what I've done, I've got my blue sloppy Joe, and I wound the window down a bit, then connected the sloppy Joe to the window, then wound it back up, so to create this sort of dead zone.
You've got a little, you got some baffling in there, some soundproofing.
Yeah, baffling.
Oh, that's very...
I've also lowered the visor. But the weird thing is that when people actually look over at the ute, they'll think it's super weird.
Right, like there's some man in his ute masturbating furiously and you want to keep that from everybody. Sorry, listeners, for saying masturbating furiously. I'm really happy that you've sort of upped your game a little bit. And listeners may actually notice some more sound-related goodness because, obviously because of the quarantine... Dad and I can't get into the same studio and chat and be face-to-face. So we've got a microphone, like a proper podcasting mic, being sent to Dad right now. So fingers crossed, the next episode that you hear of the, you know, regular Loose Units episodes will be the first episodes to be recorded long distance. You probably won't have to hide in your ute anymore.
Although I must admit, it's incredibly cozy.
Oh, sure. It's like a little cocoon, you know.
It's a cocoon. It's sort of like quarantine within quarantine within quarantine.
Oh, like Russian nesting dolls. Yeah. No, I get you.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to give a very quick shout out to friends of the show, Blue Falcon Radio. So it's basically three police officers over in Nebraska, Benjamin, Ty, and Zach. Yeah, and they catch up regularly to chat about all kinds of stuff. And so if everyone should head across and, you know, give them a listen if they can.
How lovely.
And also a quick shout out to all our other listeners. You have been just the wind beneath our bloody wings during this quarantine, really. Dad and I have been talking off mic about how much this specific spin-off has kind of helped our, I would say, mental health. Is that a fair thing
to
say?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's helped my mental health. Because everyone experiences, you know, highs and lows.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sort of, as people know, not a half full glass or half empty. My glass is continually overflowing.
Well, you've just got water cupped in your hands and it's pouring out constantly. I'm just drinking from a bird bath during a full moon. I like to kind of pivot that way. Speaking of listeners, Asher, one of our listeners, sent us in a really great question, Dad, which is kind of a great question, which hasn't been asked before. And here it is. Does John have any regrets from his time as a first responder, police or fire, like missing big events with family or that sort of thing?
No.
Fuck you.
No. I mean, you know, I wouldn't call Christmas or birthdays exactly high intense adrenaline. I mean, they're nice, obviously, and they're important.
I don't think I don't think that's what Asher was asking.
No, I understand, but the thing is, if I had to choose between, and I'm probably going to cop some flack here, but hey, you know. But the thing is, if I had a choice to go to something really massive, like some type of disaster, but hopefully a disaster where
you could say
no one passed away, and then I had a choice to be there sort of unwrapping presents. I mean, the presents can wait, but that hopping into an appliance or a fire, you know, like a police car or an ambulance and driving under siren is incredibly exciting. And here's something, Paul, I'm not sure whether I've mentioned this, but sometimes when we would go as police or even fire, is it more so police, definitely more police, we'd go to a major incident, sometimes the ambos had to, they're all working on the people, but we still had to get to the hospital. And something I may never have told you, Paul, is that I actually got to drive ambulances under siren with two paramedics in the back working on people.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Incredible. Yeah.
Hang on.
It's not a rare occurrence.
No,
for
but
police.
No, Dad, but listen.
To drive the. Yep.
Do you have first aid training? Do you technically have first aid training? Like,
Paul, you know I was a St. John's Ambulance cadet.
I didn't know that. How do people
know? Yes, you did.
No, I didn't, you dingus. Listen, what's happening
really?
Here? No, because, Dad, what's happening is I've been trying to get you the EGOT of emergency services, you know, where you're a policeman, firefighter, and an ambulance driver. Technically, you've got the St. John's Ambulance training, and you've driven an ambulance under siren while people work.
I have, yeah, on a few occasions, but I think you'll find quite a few police across Australia have, I mean, there are many, many situations where, I mean, think about it. A person requires life-sustaining support by one paramedic, sometimes by two, because if they're doing CPR the old way, there was cardiac compression and mouth-to-mouth. Now, two people need to do that. So if they're both doing that, but they need to get the person to hospital, that's fairly logical.
Someone needs
to get
drive.
A police officer to drive the you know the big and back in the day when I was in the police force, the fire the ambulance you know the ambulance vehicles were a lot of them were the big F-100s.
What does that mean?
Same as the paddy wagon with a big 350 Ford motor. So and they're automatic. So you'd sort of hop in. And it was like hopping into just, you know, the same vehicle with different badges, different coloured lights, sort of red lights as opposed to blue lights.
Yep.
And, you know, they'd say to you, look, we need to hot foot it to such and such a hospital. And because, let's face it, it had, on the balance of probabilities, being in the police force, you would have attended a major incident in your area, so you know where all the hospitals are, and you know the quickest and safest way. So, but it was just slightly unnerving to drive a fire engine. Oh, fuck, fire engine. That's the problem with having done all these different jobs, to drive an ambulance, knowing that there were two paramedics in the back working on a patient in terms of the way you took the corners. Like in a police car, it's just hell for leather, foot to the floor, go as hard as and fast as you can. But in an ambulance, it's sort of a, you know, it's a fine line between getting to the hospital, but also in terms of, you've got to get there really, really quickly.
Well, someone's basically in the back playing very high-stakes Jenga, and you can't tip it over. You've got to sort of account for that, all of that. Did you find when you were driving an ambulance that you were driving... Like, how differently were you driving in the
very,
ambulance?
Very differently. Mm. And what I did on a few occasions is I'd get my colleague to give us a police escort.
Oh, shit, like clear the traffic
clear
ahead
the
of
path.
Me?
Yeah. And so he or she would be driving... I'd be driving the ambulance partially from memory because I thought, fuck, what a great thing to do. Because it was pretty exciting. Knowing that you are really, really performing some incredibly important duty. So I did it a few times. I did a few car accidents, but also did a lady giving birth.
Whoa.
And then I got the direction on the way to Royal North Shore to actually pull over. We didn't make it to the hospital. And they actually delivered the baby in the back of the ambulance.
Piss off. Hang on. Let's wind back a little bit. Can you talk us through this specific, I'm not going to say case, but can you talk us through your recollections, specific recollections of this event?
We got a call to a taxi.
Yeah.
And there was a lady in the cab, and the poor cab driver, he called through to his base.
Yep.
And they in turn contact VKG, police radio contact. And they also notify, obviously, in fact, they also, but more importantly, notify the ambulance, because ambos are more than qualified, like super qualified. to deliver babies.
Gotcha.
And, you know, 99 times out of 100, I don't know what the stats are, but, you know, a lot of babies, let's face it, can be born at home. I mean, look at what happens in developing nations, in Africa, for example, where, you know, the woman just has this desire and she just sort of, sometimes they deliver them into their own hands.
Yeah, home births. Isn't that amazing? I've seen...
Standing up. No, but I've seen cases where women standing up will drop the baby into there and they'll catch the baby.
What? It's, no, it's not baseball, Dad. You can't put a mitt on and just...
No, no, you don't. It's, the baby's not thrown to you from someone else. It drops down into your hands.
But you couldn't, you couldn't expel the baby from you with sufficient force to actually propel it across the room, could you? No, okay. The female body is magical, but it's not that magical. So, okay. So the...
And then we get the call. We rock up as sort of, as observers to perhaps, in this particular case, nighttime, neutral bay to basically... Really, the most important thing we could be doing is maintaining and looking after the traffic situation.
Sure.
To create a safe... Because, you know, the lady's in the back of the cab. She's sort of, you know, she's lying across, in this particular case, a bench seat.
Yeah.
And you've got two ambos. I'm not sure whether... Because the paramedic thing is a relatively recent phenomenon.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not... I mean, when I was in the police force back in the 1980s, to be a paramedic and to have a paramedic, they were pretty rare. They were a rare breed. And the paramedics, they were able to administer some really, really heavy-duty drugs, which normal ambos weren't allowed to do. But that's, of course, changing incredibly. It's evolving, and so it should. Because first responders, you know, in particularly in terms of pain management, I don't know whether you've ever broken a limb, but, you know, I've had a few serious breaks and the pain is...
Oh, hang on. No,
it's so bad.
You know about... You know I've broken a limb. Remember my nose? That was three...
Oh, your nose with the bullies that...
Yeah. Whole thing.
Yeah, that's another story.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so we rock up. I'm the senior man and, you know, I'm sort of directing, getting my colleague to direct traffic and set up a safe zone so that the, you know, the ambos... can work. So one's sort of at her feet, you know, obviously that's the business end in terms of the birth. But then what happens is
the off ramp.
Well that's where the baby's going to come from.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully. So it'd be really weird if you had, say, a foot coming out of her mouth. I mean, that'd be surreal.
Well, that would imply she'd eaten a baby and not given birth to one. And that's a different...
That's right.
That's a police matter, really.
That's definitely a police matter. And then, but we're relatively close to Royal North Shore. That's the hospital
where I was born.
And that's the hospital that we were told was where we had to get to. So, but it was starting to sort of unfold fairly rapidly. So the ambos, you know, they get the stretcher, they get her into the back of the ambulance. They both go into the back of the ambulance. They say, "Look, can one of you drive?" So I drive. My mate is in front. With the blue lights, we've got the red lights. They had to give me a crash course on how to operate, you know, all the lights and sirens. And we didn't have to use the siren, which is great, because that when they can, they don't like to use siren because that can actually traumatise the people in the back.
Well, on the other hand, you didn't get to press the siren button and have fun with the siren, which
No, but I had the lights on.
Oh, okay.
And I needed to know where, and I also had to know how to operate the radio.
Sure.
Because they weren't in a position, you know, they didn't have like walkie-talkies back then.
Mm.
Like the only way they could communicate with their base was in the front. And from memory, they also used Motorola, which is the systems we used to use throughout most of the emergency services.
Sponsor.
So as we're heading to Royal North Shore, one of the guys shouts out to me, he said, it's happening. So then I have to kind of dip my lights, flash my colleague in front. Otherwise, can you imagine, he keeps going to the hospital. He arrives at Royal North Shore and there's no one with him,
yep.
which would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
And so we found a really, really safe spot on the freeway, on sort of an overpass, and... I sort of came around and then I witnessed the baby being born, which is incredible.
What was your role during that? Were you just standing by taking photos or, you know?
Look, they did ask me to cut the umbilical cord, but no, I'm joking. But I've always wanted to do that, but yeah, no. That didn't happen that night.
Okay, so the baby's born and then you're on the side of the road. What happens then? Do you call another cab?
Well, I actually reached over to her because I could see it was a boy.
Yeah.
And I actually said, look, John would be a really good name.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Now, if that's true...
It's not true.
Oh, God damn it. You can't
tease me. I've always wanted to say that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you gave...
But it is a pretty cool name.
It's all right. You gave us all monosyllabic names because you were worried that a long name next to a long surname like Verhoeven would look unwieldy. And, Dad, I've come to the conclusion that Paul doesn't suit me. So...
Are you joking?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Paul's a wonderful name.
I want something strong.
I want something strong and decisive. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with you, Paul. You're out of the picture. It's the parents.
I don't know. I feel like I could go to the register. I could go to the register.
Although some people do change their names, which I think's... Look, unless it's a silly name, it's a subjective topic. So, what is silly?
So you would prefer I pick a deliberately silly name than a cool name, which I think is better than the name you picked. Is that correct?
I think it's a little bit of a... your mother and I put a lot of thought into naming your kids.
Did you?
And, are you joking?
I think it was just like, it's like, they're very... I think you phoned
Paul,
it in.
Paul's a lovely name, and so's Mark, and so's Anne.
I just think they're little... I want something...
For the listeners who are probably not that interested, but my middle name's Francis.
Yeah, so is mine.
And your middle name's Francis, and I think that's a pretty cool name.
Francis McDormand. That's such a good Francis. I think the upshot here is that you got to be there for the birth of a baby, and I wish I was called Jack or Flynn. But, that didn't happen, so I'm just going to have to go with Paul, which sounds like something like soft and wet falling down a stair and stopping halfway.
Well, your mom and I like it.
John sounds like an axe cutting through a tree. John! It's very, aggressive and sexy. Paul is like, Paul. It's just this damp little squib. And
Paul Newman?
Paul Newman is different. Paul Newman's a god, and I will never achieve his levels of greatness, and that's fine, although I do hope to have my own salad dressing someday. Dad, the question from Asher was really interesting, and first of all, well done on achieving your emergency services EGOT. We're going to have some sort of awards ceremony later, but her question was, did you miss any big events? Now, one of the formative things, at least in terms of, film and literature and all that stuff, that apparently father and son do, is play catch. Now, obviously, you weren't a big sports guy, and I wasn't, I was a bit of an unco, so that never happened. But you and I played catch for the very first time, I think Christmas Day, about 3 years ago. You were down in Melbourne with Mum, and we were with Tegan's family, and we were in the park at the Botanic Gardens in Melbourne. And at one point, they were playing outdoor cricket, and you and I were kind of rolling our eyes, because that's really not our scene. And then we started kind of throwing the ball to each other, and I realized... And I don't know if you had this same moment, Dad, but I had a real emotional pang of like, oh, shit, I think people are watching us play catch for the first time.
Paul, that didn't affect me like that at all.
Oh, great. Thanks for that.
Sorry.
I feel very...
No, but we do things with you kids. I mean, I tried to get you into pressing flowers.
Is that... Seriously?
Well, Anne liked it, and we figured you might like it too. But
sure. No, you know what? I'm not like super masculine, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with flowers. I mean, my whole wardrobe is an explosion of floral prints anyway.
Mm. I guess. Plus, you know, I mean, you loved painting and drawing and stuff like that.
Oh, very, very artsy. But did at any point, I have these vague memories of being at the fire station and having seen inside a fire station. So what I would like to ask, and you can't lie about this, this needs to be completely honest because we're on the mic right now. Did you at any point ever let me ride along in the fire engine?
No, but you and your sister, remember that incredible time that a mate of mine in the highway patrol came along? You remember that?
You said that one of your friends in the highway patrol let us ride in the back of a pursuit car. Now, just to clarify, was it just him and Anne and me?
And me.
And you were there.
I was next to him, and he was an incredible pursuit driver.
Yeah.
And for those mainly police out listening to this, and as their eyes roll back and we can see the whites of their eyes thinking, what the fuck is he about to say and how incredibly irresponsible? Yes, I concur and agree, but hey, you know, these podcasts have always been brutally honest.
Yeah.
And it was a week night. My mate rocks up. He was in a 5.8 litre Falcon, like a really, you know, red hot highway patrol pursuit car. And these things, they flew. And I said to him, I said, look, you know, I'm just trying to think how old you were. You would have been, I reckon you would have been maybe 6 or 7. And Anne was probably 5, and we strapped you into the back seat, and you two were just, because you knew about police cars.
Yeah.
I mean, all kids, you know, they know that it's exciting and the blue lights, and it was just so, and to be honest with you, I was excited too, because as a general duties police officer, then later plainclothes, forensics, etc., we did not ever get to go into, you just didn't get to sit in a highway patrol car.
But Surely at some point you had showed your children, you know, your uniform, and you'd maybe, like, did you ever let us
You kids had sat in numerous police cars.
That's what I'm trying to get at, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Numerous. On many, many occasions, you come to the police stations and I may have shown you, may have even locked you in a cell, and, you know, like, on a Sunday arvo, quiet time.
Oh, well, if you locked your children in a cell on a Sunday over, that's fine. It's completely
No, that's
different.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, you know, without other crims, you know. But look, you know, my dear, dear friend who I remember really, he was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He, you know, it was kind of he just said, yeah, cool. And he was in all his gear, in all his finery.
Yeah.
And because he was also a bike police officer.
Oh, bicycle, you mean? Or
motorbike.
Okay.
Like the big Kawasaki Z1000s and the big gear.
Yeah.
But he also, because though he was a bike officer as well, he had leggings. Do you know what leggings are?
Are they like almonds, but for legs?
No, they're sort of like black patent leather, and they go from just under the knee down to the boot. They're really, really, you see them on the mounted police, they wear them, like, they're called a leggin, and they're leather, and they have a peaked cap, but it's soft leather. The reason it's soft leather is that they have to be able to fold it up and put it into their pannier on the motorbike.
Yeah.
But then if it's inclement weather or whatever, they also obviously drive pursuit cars as well. So he was a bike officer, but he dressed as the bike, and they had like jodhpurs, like it was a...
No, your description's really good, but you said a pointed hat. Now I'm picturing a guy in a tri-corner hat with jodhpurs. Is he a highwayman? He sounds very...
Highway Patrol.
Okay.
Well,
differently. When you describe these officers on the Highway Patrol bikes, I'm almost picturing Arnie in Terminator 2 with a hat. Like, just, you know, black
and
leather, yeah.
No, stunning. And another thing that the Highway Patrol bike riders used to get to wear that no other police did.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first police to wear leather jackets, and they didn't have a cloth insignia like the New South Wales Police Force insignia is really, really. It's a cracker.
Yeah.
It's got this like an eagle with a snake in its mouth. It's just, you know, it's colourful. It's really nice. And the highway patrol that were on bikes in all types of weather, they needed, like, the leather jacket was relatively waterproof, but their patch was plastic.
Right.
How's that?
That's really cool. So
it was a copy of the beautiful hand-stitched insignia. And speaking of insignia, Paul, police officers all over the world, a lot of them, collect insignias from other countries.
You know what we need? We need a loose units insignia. We need to have a design that incorporates you and me and, you know, a siren. We need an insignia, and then we can get that sewn leather jackets and, you know.
I'd wear it.
I'd wear it too.
And I'd really like to get I'd love a bumper sticker because I'd have it all over my ute.
Just cover it.
And historically, I'm not really into bumper stickers, but, I mean, people see them. I think a loose unit's going to be pretty nifty. So anyway, what happened was you kids were in the back, and I remember looking back at you, and you were just, your eyes were like saucers, and you were really, look, fuck, it's you know. And we went for a drive in the pursuit car.
That's really exciting. I think I'm really happy to find that even though I don't remember it, I was involved in some of this stuff. Like, I was physically there in the vehicles. But you're saying, did I ever get to even climb up on top of a fire engine and sit inside it?
Most definitely.
Okay.
100%.
I have no memory of it, but...
Yeah.
Maybe...
I'll try and dig up a photo. I'll try and dig something up.
Here's a question, and this is for you and for the listeners. Dad, if you and I are in the same city at any point, you know, after this quarantine, and we happen to be near a fire station, and there's a listener who happens to work at that fire station, and that listener decides to maybe let us sit in the truck and maybe take us for a drive, would you be up for that?
Well, they definitely won't take us for a drive.
Well, why not?
No, that's super.
Come on, no. But we can put on some overalls and pretend we make a wish.
Cannot do it. But we can sit in the fire engine in the appliance.
What if we sit on the bonnet in uniforms? And
there is no bonnet.
What, it just shears off of the window?
It does.
Oh, it does.
God. Paul? Back in the 1930s, perhaps there was a bonnet.
I'm just picturing the oldie truck. So maybe we can like hover 3 feet in front of the windscreen. I'm just saying maybe people want a calendar. It's not a big ask. Well, look, this has been a really enjoyable and surprising episode of Loose Units, Loose Ends. But we'd actually like to close out just by acknowledging the tragic passing of 4 Victorian police officers. Now, they died on the Eastern Freeway in a really terrible incident. And we didn't want to dwell on it as it's obviously still... like, it's literally unfolding right now, but what we wanted to do was just have everyone listening take a moment to consider the lives of these very brave people and just let you know that our thoughts are with their families and their friends and their loved ones.
Mm. And also, Paul, on that note, for the listeners, I don't know whether the listeners know, but I try and have every second day news-free.
Yes.
During this whole pandemic, I'm really trying to look after my mental health by just not continually... And just before I went to bed last night, I looked and there was the incident unfolding with the 4 officers, the female senior constable, a male senior constable and 2 constables,
yes.
4 of them. And this thing's unfolding as we speak. And but the thing is, I thought to myself, should I tell Christine? Because we're both ex-police.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so upset last night that I didn't tell Christine. And then I mentioned it to her. That we were going to, make mention and send our condolences through to Victorian Police Force and everyone involved and all other police, you know, and it's making international news as well. I read about it on the BBC. You know, it's a terrible, but, you know, these amazing police out there and all the emergency services that just really do put their lives on the line. It's not a throwaway comment. It's real.
Yeah, it's all very new and very fresh and it's all unfolding. But basically, Dad and I really just want to, you know, send lots of love out to those people affected and people in the emergency services who are, you know, really feeling this very keenly. We just wanted to say thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening to this show. Thank you for being with us because you are keeping us sane during this period as much as we are hopefully helping you keep sane. This spin-off has really become this kind of new exciting thing that is making us deeply happy every week. I know I'm speaking for both of us, but it's been such a joy to have something else to talk about every week. It's led to really strange, interesting things that I didn't know that you drove ambulances. That story wouldn't have come out if we hadn't sat down today over the phone and had a chat. So well, that's another episode of Loose Units, Loose Ends. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to hop on our Facebook page, head across to facebook.com/loose units and leave us questions because we will answer them. So anything you want Dad and I to talk about, whether it's, you know, whether it's the police, the fire brigade, the upcoming book. Oh, and pre-orders for the book opening very soon. Also, if you go to the Facebook page and you live in the United States, we have got a link for where you can go and actually grab a physical copy of Loose Unit. So if you're one of our American listeners, all you got to do is head across to our Facebook page, hit go and grab a copy. Have a great week. Be nice to each other. And we will see you for more Loose Units. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.